This morning I'm going to be reading from Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Title of the sermon this morning is More Than Post Turtles. More Than Post Turtles. Romans 5, verses 1 through 10. Verse 5:1 reads like this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were sinners or enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Pray with me. Father God, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to gather here. We thank you for each individual that has come this way this morning. We pray now, Lord, as we enter this time, that you would free our hearts, as Betty has prayed so graciously. Free our hearts and our minds from all the stuff. And Lord, it is your presence that we covet most of all. Father, be here amongst us. Be lifted up through us, Lord Jesus, that we might see, we might better understand and apply your gospel to our life. Father, for it does no good for us to see and understand if we don't apply. But Lord, give us the faith and the courage to apply your gospel to our life, that we might be the vessels that you have purposed us to be. Lord, that is my heart's desire this morning for each individual in this place, that we would be what you've purposed us to be. For Lord, that's where we'll find true happiness, true fulfillment, and true joy. I pray that for each one of us here today, for all of us, that we would collectively be your body. Lord, we all come from different homes, different places, but we all have to come to the same place. There is only one place. There's only one way to the Father, and that's you, Lord Jesus. So we pray that each one here is in the center of your will, that they know you as their Savior, and Lord, that they have the faith to be willing to apply your truth to their life, to be the vessel you've purposed them to be. Heart's desire this morning, Lord, have your way with us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I know I've used the post turtle as an illustration before, but you may not remember it, or you may. I don't believe I went into much detail when I did, so other than my using it as an illustration, have you ever heard of a post turtle? Post turtle. You know turtles, right? A post turtle. Ever heard of one? I've got a picture of one in my office. I have to show it to you later. I'm not sure where this story, it's a joke really, started, but I do know it became popular, or becomes popular, I should say, before most elections. I also know it can be applied, and usually is applied, across party lines. It doesn't matter which side. Here's the story. Here's the joke. An old rancher is talking about politics with a young man from the city. Some versions say it's a doctor who is suturing the old man's hand because he cut it on a gate. As the young man or the doctor begins to praise some current politician, the old rancher proclaims, "This particular politician is nothing but a post turtle." which in turn causes a young man or the doctor to say he doesn't understand and to ask why, or to ask, what's a post turtle? Much like you did. To which the old rancher explains, you're driving down a country road, you come across a turtle balanced on top of a fence post. That's a post turtle. You know he didn't get there by himself. You know he doesn't belong up there. You know he can't get anything done while he's up there, so you just want to help the poor dumb thing down before he hurts or makes a fool of himself. See how that applies to politicians, can't you? If you happen to be a turtle fan, which I know I have at least one here this morning, please don't think I'm picking on turtles. In fact, and you can ask Mary, she's back in the back right now, to verify this, because we saw several while going back and forth to Camp Island this last week. And short of wrecking the vehicle, I did almost anything I could to miss them as they were crossing the road. Truthfully, if you study turtles, you'll discover that turtles are very fascinating creatures. They are one of the oldest and most primitive groups of reptiles that exist today on the planet. They lay eggs. I guess you all knew that. The temperature at which the egg incubates determines the sex of the offspring. Didn't know that. Several species of turtles, including our American box turtle, the same ones I was trying to miss, and I did miss them all. One little girl said I got one, but I didn't. They can live to be over 100 years old. So if you get one as a pet, it's going to be a long-term thing. At some point, they're going to have to take care of you. They have very good eyesight. I guess that's why they jerked their heads back in there so quick. And they have an excellent sense of smell. I didn't know that. But from my perspective, they do seem to possess rather poor judgment, because I think they should stay on the side of the road that God placed them on and not bother trying to cross, because that cuts that 100 years way short. Okay. I realize this may be on kind of a side note, but if you want to know what a wonderful young lady once told me a snail said when it caught a ride on a turtle's back? Whee! Okay, I know. But you do get the gist of the term post turtle, and you understand what post turtle means now. Turtles, as fascinating as they can be, are still somewhat limited as to what they can and can't do, aren't they? It's amazing they can live to be 100 years old, no more than they can move. I guess that shell helps out a lot. But you know, climbing a fence post or accomplishing anything while they're on top of that fence post is definitely one of those limitations. They can't do anything while they're up there. And in truth, it's pretty cruel to put one up there. Now, there are many others, but as I read through verses 6 through 10 here in Romans 5 this week, I kind of see myself in the scripture kind of as a Christian post turtle. 6 through 10. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are post-Christian post-turtles without him, aren't we? And we are definitely put into a place where we can't get by ourselves. There's none of us this morning that can be Christians in and of ourselves. It's Christ. It's his redeeming work, his redeeming act of grace that he showed to each one of us by coming here and dying upon the cross. And in that scripture, I kind of see myself in that fashion as a Christian post-turtle, if you will. I'm in a place I couldn't have got to by myself. Michael graciously mentioned Wednesday evening during our study something I had said during last Sunday's message. And like I said, if you're not coming to the Wednesday evening study, please make an effort to come. You'll have a wonderful time, and we'd love to have you here. It'd be a wonderful time in the Lord. He said something that about, he made reference to something I said last Sunday. He said, God loves us more than we can comprehend. And nothing we can do can make him love us any more or any less. Do we understand that's true? While we were yet sinners, he died for us. We don't have to do anything to qualify for grace, do we? And that in itself is amazing. That in itself is a perfect picture of that turtle sitting on top of that post. Couldn't get there by itself. There's no way he got there by itself. Somebody put him there. But unlike whoever put that turtle there, they did it in a cruel, with cruel intention. God put us in a place with intentions that are so beautiful we can't even understand. He gave us something that if we could serve him and walk with him a lifetime, we're never going to fully comprehend. I think we're going to have to cross over and become as he is before we finally understand what it is exactly that Jesus Christ has done for us. But if we've tasted of grace, we've got a taste of what he's done for us, haven't we? He's done something that no one else could have. He was the only one that could have done it. God sent his very best to pay the price, to give us the freedom. And in truth, church, there's nothing that we can do to earn it. And if we're trying to be Christians in an effort to earn grace, we're looking at it the wrong way. It's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what we're called to do. That's not what grace is about. Grace is something that only he could have shed upon us. There's no way that we can earn it. There's no way that we can qualify for it. There's no way that we can make him love us more. But just as beautiful, maybe even more beautiful than that thought, is there's no way we can make him love us less. While we are at our worst, he gave his very best. While we were sinners, he died for us. And if we'd be honest this morning, we'd say we still qualify for that, wouldn't we? Because we know we all have it in our lives. But grace keeps being applied, doesn't it? I'll reference something that was in the study. It was taught by Mike Wednesday. I'll return that favor. Praise God that his love for us prevents him from being fair with us. We were studying this week about sometimes how things seem unfair, and it seems as though sometimes God is unfair. And it was brought out wonderfully in the CD we watched, and wonderfully by Michael too, that how blessed we are that he isn't fair with us. Because if God was fair with us, what would happen? We wouldn't have experienced grace, would we? He wouldn't have died for us while we were yet sinners, would he? Every one of us, if God would be fair with us, would spend an eternity in hell, paying our sin debt. Every one of us. If I got what I deserved, I would spend an eternity in hell. So when I read, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When I read that, I realize I'm a Christian post turtle. I am. I've been given something that there was no way I could have accomplished by myself. And even if I'd spent that eternity in hell, and God forbid anybody have to, I still would have owed a debt. The debt wouldn't have been paid. I've done nothing to earn or deserve God's favor. It is by grace and grace alone that I find myself in this position. The world needs to understand that. The world needs to understand that they all qualify. just as we qualified. They need to understand that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would be free. They need to see that. Can we see and can we all agree with that? We're kind of like that turtle someone placed on top of a post, aren't we? Every one of us. None of us deserve God's favor. None of us deserve to be forgiven. It's not about deserving, is it? It's not about fair. Because if we got what was fair, we couldn't be forgiven. But even though we're like that turtle, and nothing we've done has got us here, are we as helpless or as hopeless as that turtle when it comes to accomplishing something while we're here? That turtle can't do much. He can stick his head out and he can move his legs. But if he can't get a hold of the edge of that post, he's not going anywhere, is he? Now, if he can get one leg under there and get that post and get turned around and throw himself off, he'd be okay. Unless, I guess, he landed on his top. They say when they're on their top, they have a hard time too, especially if the surface is hard. It's amazing they can live to be 100 years old, isn't it, with all they have going against them. But are we in that same place? Are we put there just for display? Whoever put that turtle there, it was for display. And in truth, it was a cruel act. Are we as helpless and hopeless as that turtle is when it comes to accomplishing something? I've never seen a turtle on a fence post, I'll be honest with you. I haven't. Didn't read about it until a couple years ago before the election. If I did see a turtle on a fence post, I'd take him down. And because just like the joke suggests, he's got no more use being there than most politicians do in office. And like most politicians, he'll be there a lot longer than needed. And if we don't do something to help him get down, he's going to be in trouble. And we're going to be in trouble too, in some cases. Do you think it's possible that we sometimes, as Christians, we just sit on top of this post we call Christianity, and that we do nothing? Simply because we know we don't belong up here? Not so much like on display, but more like we can't do this, we can't do that. I'm not capable of doing this. I'm not capable of doing that. Does God require we be capable? Does God require we be qualified? Are any of us here this morning qualified to go to heaven except for the grace of Christ? God doesn't need our abilities. He does need our availability, doesn't He? He does need us to be willing, doesn't He? We can't sit on top of that post like that poor turtle saying, I didn't get here by myself and I don't think I can do anything. We can't. We're not called to be that way. It's true we don't belong here. It's true that none of us are qualified to be here. And of our own merit, none of us deserve to see heaven's glory. That's true. That's why only God could accomplish it, right? That's why He did accomplish it, because it is true. And because He does love us. And He does want us to be with Him. Don't ask me to explain that, because I don't think anybody can. He loves us in spite of who we are. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to qualify. He didn't say, Father, I'm going to give my life for the ones that are going to accept me. The Bible makes it very plain that He gave His life for all. How amazing a picture of grace, because God's God, and God knows everything, just like you expect God to. So He knows who is and who isn't, and yet He died for all. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? Even the ones that He knew would never accept Him, He gave His life for them. Paid the price for their sin as well. All they have to do is take the check. Take the coupon, whatever you want to call it, ticket. All they have to do is accept it. and it's theirs. I know I've said this a bunch of times before, but it's still just as true every time I say it. The only thing Christian about me, and I also strongly suspect probably even you, is Jesus Christ within us. It's the only thing. I think it's important that we know and are reminded of that often, because it will help us to see and maybe even help us to comprehend once and for all that our dependency upon Jesus Christ is paramount to our accomplishing anything in Him. If you know Christ as your Savior this morning, I can guarantee you that He has a purpose for you. He has something, a calling upon your life. There's somewhere in this kingdom that you fit. Somewhere in this body that you fit. That was the same message I preached at the nursing home. Because I believe as long as we're here on this side of glory, there's a purpose for us to be here. I believe that with all of my heart. We need to understand. We need to comprehend once and for all. We're somewhere we don't belong, and that's why they call it grace. We don't belong here. We're not fit for this kingdom. Because we're still in this tent of flesh. We still are going to have issues. The only way we're going to overcome those issues, the only way we're going to accomplish His purpose for our life, and if you know Him as your Savior, there's a purpose for your life. The only way we're going to accomplish that is through Him. Because the only thing Christian about us, right, is Him in us. I was not a Christian until Christ came into my heart, into my life. Come Wednesday night, you'll learn about that, just not this Wednesday night. There are different levels of our understanding of who Christ and who God is. My whole life, with God as my witness, my whole life, I knew God existed. There was never a time in my life where I thought I evolved from something that crawled from the ocean. Never. There was never a time in my life that I could never muster enough faith to believe that. If I come from a monkey, how come monkeys are still not turning into me? You know? I know they make movies that they are, but it's not happened in my lifetime. It probably ain't going to happen in yours and probably going to happen in Logan's. If Logan don't sit still. I can't muster enough faith to believe that. There was never a time in my life that I didn't know that there was a God creator. I knew He existed. I even believed in Jesus Christ. But I wasn't a Christian, was I? I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a Christian until Christ came into my life. Till I came to Him and prayed before Him and repented of my sins and asked Him to be my Lord and my Savior. That could not have happened without Jesus, without grace. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. None of us do. We're qualified in Christ. Every one of us here this morning are qualified in Jesus Christ to do what He has appointed for us to do. That's the truth. We need to understand that. We need to understand that it's our dependency upon Him that qualifies us. Remember last week I talked about being deliberate and intentional in our Christian walk? Hope you remember. Is that easy to do? If it was easy, we wouldn't have to be deliberate and intentional about it, would we? If it was easy, it would come natural. What comes natural is easy, right? To be deliberate and intentional about it means that it doesn't come natural. You know what comes natural to me? The same thing that comes natural to you. The same thing that's wrong with this world. The thing that comes natural to me is to sin. That's what I do naturally. We were talking this morning in Sunday school. 99% of us here this morning, if somebody would walk up and smack us in the face, what would we do? We'd smack them back, wouldn't we? Because that is what we, how we react naturally. Because that's who we are. We have to be deliberate and intentional about trusting Jesus Christ. About relying upon Jesus Christ. I don't know that I could, and I wouldn't invite you to try. But I would love to not strike back. Then I would know that I'm allowing Jesus to be Lord of my life. I've heard preachers preach that they didn't. I've heard people testify that they didn't. And I've known of people that were won to the Lord because of it. When we allow Christ to be Lord of our life, He's lifted up in our life. And people see Him. Just like Betty talked about this morning, that's really all that needs to happen. People just need to see Jesus. Because He told us if He's lifted up, He'll draw all peoples unto Him. He was referring to the cross. I know He was. I've had people talk to me about that before, but I also know He was referring to our lives. He's referring to being lifted up in my life. If He's lifted up in my life and He's truly being seen by people, it will make a difference in the world. Church, that's the only difference that can be made. There's no other difference that we can make but Jesus Christ. There is no other difference. He's the only hope that exists for this planet. All those people we've been fretting over, all these things that have happened in the last few months, the answer to every one of those things is Jesus Christ. Every one of them. I don't care what bad news we're looking at, the answer is Jesus Christ. Him being seen is what's most important. The only way that can happen is if I'm relying upon, if you're relying upon Him. That's what it means to be intentional and deliberate about walking with Christ. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we also glory in tribulations. Wouldn't you have liked for Him to left that part out? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance and perseverance character and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You ever experienced tribulation? I know what it's like to sit up in a house dark at night. You might think it's not a very big thing, but you know, after a while, it is. Sometimes that has to happen, doesn't it? You ever experience some tribulation? And it don't have to be that. It can be anything. Do you mostly glory in tribulation or do you mostly complain about it? Me too. Does it seem fair that Christians, God's people, have to go through hard stuff? Well, yeah, God's not fair, is He? If He was, we'd be in trouble. But God is God. He is. Maybe that's something we don't fully comprehend. God is God. There isn't a tribulation on the planet that we go through that surprises Him. And in Him, our tribulation has purpose. Because as Betty said, sometimes we have to get to the end of ourselves, and we have to get in that really dark place before we're willing to let go and grab a hold of the hem of His garment. Before we're, even as Christians and knowing what we know, before we let go and grab Him. It's what we had to do when we came to Him as Savior, wasn't it? We had to let go. Didn't make any sense. Maybe we were in situations we knew some of our friends were going to laugh at us. All kinds of different places. We all come from many different areas, but we all come to the same. And we all have to let go. Some of us let go completely right then. Some of us let go a little while and we grab a hold again. Some of us, it's an everyday thing. But tribulation does have a purpose in Christ. Think about this. Does it seem sometimes like it was easier to become a Christian than it is to be a Christian? Is there a difference between being like Christ and being Christ-like? Inasmuch as maybe verses 1 and 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Inasmuch as that might better explain how to become like Christ or to become justified. In verses 3 and 4, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Might better explain how to describe how to become Christ-like and are righteous, like we're called to be as Christians. Is there really any difference between being justified or being righteous? Can we accomplish either one by ourselves? I can tell you it's a danger as you become a Christian, as you grow in Christ, and you start to understand His Word, as you start to attend church services, it's a danger that we can start to think that we're above. That's why I quote that scripture all the time, let the man that thinks he stand take heed, because I saw that danger a long, long time ago. It's a real danger. It's better to look at ourselves and say, but therefore the grace of God go I. And it doesn't matter who you're reading about in the paper or who you're watching on TV. It's better if we say, there but for the grace of God go I. Because that's closer to the truth. We are as dependent upon Jesus Christ today. And I don't care if you've been walking with Him for 50 years. You're as dependent upon Him today, just as dependent as you were the day you met Him as your Savior. There's no difference. It's all Christ. The only difference we're going to make is through Christ. The only way we could ever be saved was through Christ. The only way we can be Christians is through Christ. We depended on Him. Because I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, we'd all slap back. Not if we're dependent on Him. If we're dependent on Him, we don't see somebody that we're condemning to hell. We see somebody that needs grace just as bad as we do. That's the way we need to see. That's the way we need to understand. There's no difference. It's the same thing. One thing I know for certain, not one Christian sitting in this sanctuary this morning became that way by themselves. And if you think you did, you're not a Christian. Because the only thing that makes us Christian is Christ. The only way we can find forgiveness is in Him. The only way we can walk as a Christian is in Christ. It's the only way. I'm certain of this as well. Same faith, hope, love, or grace that drew us through His Spirit to Him and His sacrifice, that convicted, convinced, justified, renewed our hearts and lives the day we gave them to Him, is the same power that will establish our hearts and lives in Him today. And I don't have this here, but I'm just as certain of it. What this world needs more than anything else today is Christians that are dependent upon Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs. That's the answer to their problems. Had someone this week, someone I think highly of, wonderful young man. He told me he really don't care what they did about the marriage thing. Doesn't make him any difference. He just don't want to see him kissing on TV. I got to agree with him. I don't want to see him kissing on TV either. But I tried to explain to him that what they're doing is trying to force it upon us as Christians. That's why we have to stand. Not because we're condemning them. The world's full of sin. We're full of sin. It's everywhere around us. It's what we do naturally, remember? But what the reason we have to stand is because they're trying to force it upon us and get us to agree with it. And we cannot do that. Plus, it's destroying the very moral fiber of our nation, especially the families. We simply have to be as deliberate and as intentional about trusting Christ for our walk today as we were about trusting Him for our salvation that day. Because in truth, we are as dependent upon Him for one as we are the other. I can't manufacture Jesus. I cannot manufacture the Holy Spirit. I cannot save anyone. But if I will be a vessel that is dependent upon Him, I can be a platform upon which He can stand. And if He's visible in my life, He's visible to the world around me, He can make a difference using me to do it. He can do the same thing through any of us. There's not one of us here this morning that isn't qualified because it's not our power. We just have to be deliberate and intentional about trusting Him for it. It's His power, His light that's shining forth from us. We're nothing more than a mirror to reflect. But this mirror, this post hurdle, has to be dependent upon Christ. Has to be living a life that's deliberate and intentional about denying myself, taking up my cross, as Jesus said, daily, and following Him. And even though, just like that post hurdle, we are lifted onto a higher position than we deserve, we are more than post hurdles because we are here for a purpose that will be realized and will be revealed through faith. It takes faith to live a Christian life. Just as it took faith to come to Christ, it takes faith to walk with Christ. Because I have to deny what I'm thinking. I have to deny that way that seems right to me. I guarantee you, as you start to walk with Jesus, you will walk down paths you never thought you could. You will walk down paths you never wanted to go. But if you will go, and you will have the faith to follow Him through that path, your life will be blessed behind your belief also. In truth, it's the only joy or happiness that exists on the planet. It's in Christ. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Share a few more verses of Scripture, and then I'm going to close. Look with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 14 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. Verse 14 reads like this. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. He died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. What does that mean? Does that mean we look out at the world or we look at one another and we overlook our faults because we understand that we're so valuable that the Son of God died in our place? Gave His life for them. We regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That means that you and I are to be vessels that bring people to Him. That's what we're called to be. That's what our ministry is. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We're really not supposed to slap them back. Now then, we, as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The hardest thing possible, does it? It's not. Not for man, but with God all things are possible. God has a purpose for each and every one of us this morning. Of that I am certain. We are called to be his. And church, we are called to live accordingly. Our life should be a reflection of our faith in Christ. That's what our life is called to be. It's not mine anymore. Might be easier for me to see that than it is for you. I don't know. We all come from different places. But I know I wouldn't be here without Christ. I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be on the planet except that Christ pulled me out of that mess. I owe everything to him. We all do. Every one of us here. We owe him everything. We're supposed to live accordingly. We have to be deliberate about that. We have to be intentional about that. It takes faith. Because sometimes they slap you. We have a song of invitation. God's Spirit has spoke to your heart this morning, and we are inviting you to come forward. Whatever need that you might have, that's why this altar's here. That's why we had one. We built a new church. We wanted an altar. That's why. Any need at all that you have this morning,